Drenched to the skin by the falling water, Baron Gaza slogged through the ankle-deep puddles in the streets of the ville, heading for the junkyard. Again and again he was approached by furious people screaming for revenge, and he ruthlessly cut them down with a rapid fire. How could things have gone so bad so nuking quickly? He was an outcast in his own ville. There was only one conceivable way that the Outlanders could have possibly found the pump room. Hawk had to have been right. They were spies for Traitor. Fortunately, the dried mud walls were softening under the presence of the water, and soon the buildings would start to sag and crumble. Chaos was spreading through Rock Point, and that alone was what gave Gaza the chance to escape with his wives. The silent women had expressed no wish to leave the man, and privately he was glad for their company. The more blasters covering his ass, the better. Their sodden clothing clung to every curve, exposing a wealth of flesh, but the blasters in their hands were expertly balanced and swept the ville in a steady pattern. Gaza approved. Reaching the junkyard, Gaza cut down two Sekhmen waiting in hiding near the fence, then took the hand cannons from their twitching fingers, along with an oil lantern. Lighting the wick, Gaza held the lantern high as he maneuvered through the jumbled collection of junk and rusty cars, leading the five women at his back into a metallic cave formed by pre-dark cars tilting against one another. The Baron paused at one point, listening to the growing sounds of battle, punctuated by the groan of a collapsing building, before directing the women around a deadfall trap, an engine block attached to chains that would have swung along the middle of the tunnel with deadly force, a cast-iron pendulum that would have crushed any intruder into a bag of broken bones with one shot. After a few yards more, the Baron guided them past a pitfall, the bottom of the deep hole studded with pool cues, the long sticks sharpened and charred with fire to make them strong. The rotting remains of a curious Sekhman rested halfway down the pit, his desiccated corpse still suspended in the air from the wooden shafts jammed into his torso and broken limbs. Once past that, Gaza kept his wives close as he paused to dig in the loose sand to uncover a wooden box. Lifting the lid, he cut a few wires inside, disabling a pre-dark landmine, then started forward into the flickering darkness. From overhead came the steady patter of the falling water from the towering geyser, and soon the hissing lantern revealed a ramshackle school bus sitting in the center of the dim tunnel, its rusty sides covered with corrugated steel, the windows barred, jagged knife blades jutting from the rim of each tire. His wives bobbed their heads at the sight, and Della eagerly started for the vehicle, but he roughly pulled her aside.
Leave it alone. That one's a booby trap. No engine or fuel. If anybody tries the ignition, the whole thing blows.
The women smiled proudly in appreciation of the death trap and followed their glowering husband as he eased around the crumbling wreck to reach a large canvas-covered object just behind the bus. Hanging the lantern on a pole sticking out of the hard-packed sand, Gaza ripped off the canvas to reveal the squat angular box of a military wag. 8 huge tires supported the APC, the armor a model of tans and creams, perfect camo for the desert. The hull was covered with closed blaster ports and hatches, with a big bore 50 cal sitting on top, a glistening link of oiled brass dangling from the breech.
That's our ride out of here.
Gaza looked upon the vehicle with pride. He had found the war wag in a cave stuffed full of supplies, obviously some trader's secret cache. It had taken months of work to get it working again. And then, after taking everything he could fit inside the vehicle, Gaza rigged the rest of the supplies to blow, so that nobody could use the weaponry against him. He was miles away when the cave detonated, and upon reaching Rock Point had proclaimed himself Baron. The former Baron had objected and got blown to hell for his troubles. What did bravery amount to against steel and blasters? Damn fool should have known better. Going to the rear of the APC, Gaza checked a wax seal on the double doors to make sure nobody had entered the transport. When he was satisfied it hadn't been disturbed, he smashed the seal and shoved aside the doors with a squeal of stubborn metal.
Inside! I'm leaving whether you bitches come with me or not!
Hurriedly, the women scrambled into the APC and figured out how to latch the double door shut, just as there came a roar of power from under the floor and the vehicle lurched forward. Suddenly, the interior was filled with white electric lights, and the women grabbed seats along the metal walls. The blinking lights of electronic equipment winked from racks above them, but the women ignored the display and fumbled to open some blaster ports, shoving through the barrels of their rapid fires. Throwing the wagon to gear, Gaza fed the big diesel engine fuel and worked the steering levers to angle around the school bus, the sides of the LAV-25 APC squealing as its armored chassis scraped along the rusted pile of wrecks forming the slanted walls. Once past the bus, he stayed in the middle of the tunnel, easily jouncing over the pit and hardly flinching when the engine block slammed into the side of the military war wag, the strident impact making the steel hull loudly ring and rattle the bins of linked ammo. A curtain of water blocked the end of the tunnel, and Gaza hit the gas as the APC roared from its hidden garage and onto the flooded streets. Water sprayed high behind the LAV-25 from the spinning tires as Gaza directed the war wag directly into the crowds of people, plowing through the bodies as if they were no more than weeds. Needing both hands to drive, the Baron could only laugh as the terrified people tried to splash out of the way and were crushed beneath the thick military tires. Galloping around the side of the temple, a group of Sekhmen on horses charged at the wag, and Gaza surged through the center of the group, fishtailing the APC to smack them aside with crushing force. The Sekhmen, still alive, fought to control their animals, and that was when the women cut loose with their rapid fires through the blaster ports, the barrage of small-caliber rounds finishing the job. Dripping blood and entrails, the APC rolled through the downpour as the awnings ripped free, cascading down their accumulation of water. For a moment, Gaza was blind, and that was when, from out of nowhere, a Molotov crashed on top of the APC in an explosion of fire. But the deluge from the geyser quickly quenched the flames, and his wives retaliated with bursts of blaster fire. Heading for the front gate, Gaza careened off the corner of a building, running down several people, their screams continuing to come from below the war wag, but only for a few brief moments. Another Molotov hit the vehicle's front prow, and as the flames licked into the wag through the air vents, Gaza frantically drove into an alleyway to dodge any further firebombs. But unexpectedly, there was no end to the alley, a wide breach going all the way through the thick outer wall. Suspicious as hell, the Baron scowled at the sight. Could this be some sort of a trick? No, there had been no time for the Sekhmen to arrange for such an elaborate trap. This had to be how the Outlanders got out of the Ville. Excellent. Revving the big diesel engine, the Baron charged down the alleyway and roared through the crumbling gap, the APC riding rough over the irregular chunks of masonry, dead horses, and Sekhmen. More blaster fire came from the top of the wall, and then Gaza was outside the Ville on flat ground. Throwing the war wagon to high gear, the Baron raced across the desert sand into the night, and soon even the sporadic sniper fire died away into the distance. Easing off the bolt on her rapid fire, Della rose from her chair and awkwardly walked to the front of the APC to touch her husband on the shoulder.
Yes, I have a plan. There are some ruins to the north.
Satisfied that he answered her unspoken question, he paused for a moment as the badly stitched wound on his throat began to bleed slightly. He mopped away the blood and continued.
We'll hide there for a while and then move on to New Mex. I know some vills there that could use a strong baron.
Holding on to a ceiling stanchion, Della frowned and made a gesture with a fist.
Yes, they have contact with a traitor. But that homemade war wag of his can't possibly stand against us. Soon I'll be the traitor. And then I'll carve out an empire the likes of which nobody has ever seen before.
The woman nodded in acceptance and carefully walked back to join the other wives. She had total faith in her husband. Checking her blaster, Della stood guard at the rear blaster port, while Kathleen went to the front to ride shotgun, and the remaining women began checking over the hastily gathered supplies, each obviously content to do whatever was needed for the man they loved. Sluggishly, Hawk awoke into a world of searing pain. For a single chaotic moment, the Sec Chief thought he was still falling, then abruptly realized he was merely lying in a soft bed, his chest and left arm swaddled in bloody bandages. A Sec man tending to him abruptly rose.
He's alive!
Others rushed closer to crowd around the wounded man. Hawk grunted at their presence and tried to stand, but strong hands forced him back down onto the mattress.
Easy, sir. Don't tear open that stitching. We found the dead wrinkly who shot you, and his body's been thrown to the pigs.
The events replayed themselves in Hawk's mind, and he decided to accept the lie.
Where's Gaza?
The faces in the room took on dark expressions. A sec man tightened a hand on his gun belt.
The nukin' bastard ran away when the temple exploded. There was some sort of well underground. We have a flood in the vill.
Most of the buildings are melting.
Hawk understood. Yes, of course. Sun-dried adobe mud bricks. He should have thought of that event.
So how bad am I?
Death wounds often hurt less than minor scrapes. The sec man serving as a healer snorted at that.
Oh, merely flesh wounds, sir. The lead went clean through without hitting anything vital.
So, he would live. Good. Gaza was going to die for that mistake.
Get me a horse.
Hawk groaned as he swung his boots to the floor and painfully sat upright. The barrack spun for a minute, then settled into place once more.
This vill is dead. Raid the armory and take every weapon. We ride tonight.
But sir, your wounds!
Baring his teeth, Hawk stood by a sheer effort of will.
Fuck my wounds! I want both Gaza and those outlanders chilled by dawn!
Miles away in the desert, Ryan and the rest of the companions steadily rode on into the night. Ahead of them lay endless miles. At the end of their journey, hopefully, they'd encounter the mysterious person who just might be the traitor.